We are coming up to the time. We have to talk to the passionate Playgoer. And this is Friday morning. I want to remind everybody. We have our theater critic, Lynn Slotkin, has returned from travel to London, England. And, of course, she's here with her weekly roundup of what to see. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Phil.
And I'll ask you about London later in the show. But first, what are you reviewing this week?
I'm reviewing two shows that pack a punch. First is Pacamumbo by Wajdi Mowawad, the first play by the new theater company, Canadian Rep Theater. We had Ken Gass on the show a few weeks ago. He's the founder and artistic director of the company. And it might sound like a play for young people, but adults would benefit as well from this powerful play. And the second play is Free Outgoing by Anupama Chandrashekar at the Factory Main Space Theatre, produced by Knightwood Theatre, about the effect of social media on a well-ordered life and how soon that life can go off of the rails.
Well, let's start with Pacamumbo. What's it about?
It was written several years ago by Lebanese-Canadian writer Wajdi Mowawad. Julie is a young person who has been in a mental institution for about 3 months. The psychiatrist in this play is trying to pry out of her what brought her to that place. Julie had been missing for 23 days with her grandmother. Both were found in the basement of her grandmother's building. The grandmother was dead and decaying. Julie was alive, barely, from smelling all that decay. She was almost asphyxiated. Who knew that could happen? The things you learn in the theater. When her grandmother died, Julie didn't want to leave her. So she stayed there. She wanted to talk to death. This is the kid. This is Julie. And give him, her, death, a piece of her mind. She was also searching for this place called Pacamumbo that her grandmother taught her about, a place of peace, perhaps a place where death happens, a place where you could be yourself. So the question the play asks is it real? Is it in her mind? The play asks that and many other questions.
Then is it really a kid's play?
I think it's for both teens and adults, and both will get the depth and layers of the piece. It's seen through the eyes of Julie. Initially, Julie seems like an irritated, belligerent teenager. Then we realize that she's younger than that. She has street smarts, but has also an innocent whimsy about her. So I put her at about 9 years old. There are hints that there are problems with her parents. Her grandmother gave her unconditional love, so the kid is fearless in trying to stay with her and give death a piece of her mind. I love that piece of business. I love that bravery of the character.
Does the production do justice to the story?
I think it does. You know, you certainly get a sense of the care that director Ken Gass and his company have taken with this work. As Gass said a few weeks ago when he was here, he feels that Pacamumbo is a gem, and he wanted to do it for years. The set is simple. The audience is on either side of the playing area. As the audience files in, there is a bed at one end with two women sitting on it. One of these characters is the grandmother, and the other is a dog named Growl, played by a woman, wonderfully. And this woman will also play the moon. At the other end is a woman in white smock, sitting, waiting patiently with a clipboard on her lap and a pen in her hand. This is the psychiatrist. And a young woman paces or sits on a chair just up from the psychiatrist. She is impatient and obviously irritated and angry. And when the play starts, we realize Julie, who is this young person, is really a preteen. She has been held in that facility for 3 months, and they won't let her go until she tells them what actually happened. How did the grandmother die, etc.? And Julie says frequently that nothing happened. And then the play deals with 65 minutes of monumental happenings, okay, for Julie at least. And rather learning of some secret to be divulged to a psychiatrist, we see how a kid coped with the death of her beloved grandmother, dealt with the idea of death, was searching for Pacamambo, was tenacious in her loyalty to her grandmother, and revealed the kind of special being that Julie really was. That was more important for, I think, for the audience and for the psychiatrist than learning what happened. You know, that kind of business? Yeah.
Ken Gass has also said that he collaborated heavily with his cast. Does that work?
I think it does. It certainly shows up in the work. I was always engaged and riveted by the direction of Mr. Gass. He created that world and was one of affection and protection. Characters cared for each other and comforted each other. Even the psychiatrist. This was not an angry, this was not a representative of a mean-spirited adult world. That psychiatrist cared about the character. The acting is uniformly strong, as Growl and the Moon, Michelle Pollack, is physically agile, inventive, and with the Growl and the Moon. I love the Growl. Never heard a dog like that before, and it just made so much sense.
I suspect there's going to be a few dogs named that.
It's a great name.
Years
upcoming. Growl. As the grandmother, Kyra Harper imbues everything with a kind of a quiet and dearness about Julie. Dearness about Julie's grandmother, but she's feisty and loving. I love that too. As the psychiatrist, Karen Robinson has an easy grace of a woman who is desperate to help this kid so she can finally leave the place, meaning Julie. Mm. And of course, it's all about Julie, and Amy Keating is a firecracker of emotion. She is compelling, whether playing a 9-year-old, a teenager, or a bitter adult trying to do her job in a ritzy house. I've spoken about Amy Keating before. She was in After Miss Julie, and she played a formidable adult who was a cook in this house, and she was angry, pushy, bold. Everything she does is compelling, and she scares me, which is perfect. You know, you continue to shake your head watching Keating, be a teen or a preteen, in a thrice, or at least wondering how old. You do wonder, how old is that character? So I love being upset and unsettled by it. And I love the mystery of this piece and of course, of Julie.
Hmm. Well, and now Free Outgoing.
Yes.
What does that mean?
It means it takes place... It takes place in India in 2007, and it refers to cell phones. Remember cell phones? I was talking about that. It refers to cell phone calls that are free if they are outgoing calls. Malina is a single mother of a son and a daughter in high school. The daughter is a star pupil, and the mother has high hopes for her. She does everything for the daughter at the expense of any emotional support for her son, Sharon. Sharon, maybe that's how it's pronounced. I'm sorry. Who struggles as a student. But one day the daughter has consensual sex with a boy in an empty classroom, and the boy videos it on his cell phone, and it goes viral. Surprise, surprise.
And everybody's story.
Yes, everybody's world unravels, certainly the mother's. People protest around their home at such loose morals. The media hover and clamor for comment. The family can't go outside because of the crowds. They can't even buy water, which they have to do daily. They have to go out with these tubs to buy the water. It's not turning on a tap. So playwright Anupama Chandrashekar writes about the blinkered world of that family and that culture, but also of the larger world it clashes with, technology and its ramifications, and the cold-blooded world of the media in a frenzy to get a story. The play takes place on the other side of our world, but we experience all of the claustrophobia that Malini and her family experiences. I love that. I love feeling claustrophobic and sick about this. That gets me in the world. But then, you know, I can go home.
Well, how do we experience that claustrophobia?
Well, director Kelly Thornton keeps the action in that one room. People come and go into and out of the apartment. But basically, it's the son and the mother who are there. But Malini and her son have to stay there as well. Soon, no one of the family leaves that apartment. The son might go to his own room off to one side. Most of the action is in that living room. The daughter keeps to her own room. As Melanie, Anusri Roy gives a multifaceted performance of a woman who has to live by her wits and her charm. In the beginning, she's trying to encourage a timid office worker to buy some jewelry polish. This is how she makes some extra money. She smiles sweetly, she flaps her eyelashes, she bobs her head, and generally lays the charm on thick. And she is incredulous when she learns the truth about the situation with her daughter. You can see Roy trying to keep her wits about her, but the pressure and the tension build. The movements are quick and full of anger. She flashes her eyes, she glares, and for a diminutive woman, she can knock down anyone who towers over her with just a fierce look. I wouldn't want to get in a fight with this person. She's a lovely woman, but she's formidable. As Sharon, Andrew Laurie is impressive as the brother who is fed up being second to his sister and furious that he is being punished by the school as well because of his sister's indiscretion. The last scene is a bit of over the top when the media are about to get an interview with the daughter, and yet that over the topness seems so right. The interviewer is a vapid woman out for ratings and a chat without a single thought to the family. The media at its most vile, paying for the interview with money and air tickets for this family out. You know it's not going to be enough.
Wow.
Yeah, I really like this play a lot.
It sounds like it.
I saw it originally in London, and I liked feeling that claustrophobia.
Yeah.
And I got the same feeling here.
It's contemporary story, because we there is a lot of this. So we're seeing, even the mayor could tell us something about this stuff.
Yeah, I bet you he could.
Well, thanks, Lynn. That's Lynn Slotkin, our theater critic and passionate playgoer. You can read Lynn's blog at slotkinletter.com. Paco Mambo plays at the Citadel, 304 Parliament Street, until February 3rd, canadianrep.ca. Free Outgoing plays at Factory Theater Main Space until February 16. For tickets, you can call 416-368-3100 or you can go to nightwoodtheater.net.
I think Paco Mambo plays until the 2nd, but they might have... I think they're going to lay on extra performances, but people should contact the box office.
Plays until the 2nd.
Yes.
Paco Mambo.
Yes.